You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
If you grew up like me, the fridge wasn't just a cold box. It was a mystery vault. You opened it hoping that whatever your mom stashed in that margarine container actually was margarine and not last week's stew. And while we laughed and sniff tested, what we didn't realize was this. Food was being preserved. And in essence, our lives were being preserved. And it's serious science. Tonight, we're joined by someone who doesn't just understand that science, he's shaping its future. Dumelo Shokwe is a man of many titles, quality and food safety manager, food science researcher, postgrad mentor, and PhD candidate. With over a decade of experience working inside one of the largest chicken manufacturers in South Africa, he knows what it takes to ensure what lands on your plate is safe, fresh, and good, from the factory floor to your fork. He holds a master's in agriculture, a BTEC in food technology, and a qualification in total quality management. But what excites me most is that he's passionate about mentoring the next generation of food scientists, as he is about safeguarding our dinner tables. So tonight, we talk about vacuum-sealed futures, shelf life sorcery, and how food preservation is shaping the next frontier of health, safety, and sustainability. Dumelo, good evening. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And yourself?
I'm good, thank you. Yo, I'm sorry you had things in the background there. I'm so sorry about that. All right, I'd love for you to take us back. What drew you to food science in the first place? And what has made you stay in these 12 plus years?
Hi, everyone in the radio station and the listeners. Just to go straight to your question.
Yeah.
What draws me in this industry, honestly speaking, is the love for people.
Ah.
And what I mean by that is I actually did lots of research when I was still young, being a curious lad,
uh-huh,
to a point whereby I wished to become a medical doctor.
Okay.
However, I wanted to be in a place where I can be proactive, act before people get sick.
Mm.
And I landed in a research work that was focused on food safety, especially on food poisoning, because there were lots of cases on food poisoning. And the one that was the highlight was of a man who passed away. He was very close to my father.
Mm.
It was my heart. So I did my research. I applied when I was about to go to university, and I ended up being accepted by a university in Johannesburg, and my journey started there.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, and just to add on that, I really love what I do. I'm very passionate about compliance, food safety, quality, and information sharing. The jobs I've had since I started back then gave me a very big platform to make the best and worst version of myself.
Uh-huh. And in what way? How so?
You come up with challenges with the love for what I do. When something is wrong, it's wrong. And I wouldn't accept anything that passes through my eyes if it's wrong. And you can just imagine in a competitive world where you work for money on a daily basis, it's not the same, because you have some people who are working, but they're just... they just go there for a job.
Mm.
It's different from you who's passionate about food safety.
Mm.
And
that's why nyama ya senando simnandi kanje. And while we're there, can you just let everybody know the current role that you do?
Okay, so you mentioned my previous role. I was actually a quality and food safety manager when we last met. So I have now moved and I work as a supplier compliance and audit manager. And I'm responsible for conducting audits, for making sure that the suppliers really comply and they comply to the highest standards. And also, I am surrounded by great people professionally who motivate me. They make, they also push me to become the best version of myself.
Yeah.
I'm talking about people like my current manager, Mazen, GM, Mr. Zito, my previous manager, Kiji Sukalila, Jimmy Maloma, Dr. Kosa, Professor Obutu, and Clement. So these are great people in the industry and also in universities whom I work with and motivate me on a daily basis.
I still maintain that is why. That is why. Now, let's get our basics right, because we are here to talk about food preservation, right? What is it? What is food preservation? And what's the goal beyond just keeping food from spoiling?
So food preservation, to start with, refers to the methods and techniques used to prevent food spoilage and to extend the shelf life. So that with the biggest goal of maintaining its nutritional quality. So this process is crucial not only for ensuring food safety and reducing waste, but also for facilitating food storage and transportation over time. So you can just imagine if we had to slaughter chickens for our daily plate. So you have seven chickens in your yard.
Literally.
Exactly. So to achieve that, food preservatives are used, and this food preservatives that I'm talking about are substances that are added to food products to extend the shelf life and prevent spoilage caused by microorganisms. And in this case, microorganisms, I'm talking about bacteria, I'm talking about fungi. And on when it comes to biochemistry, we also look at the oxidation process that is caused by fruits, especially fruits. And other chemical changes. So what you normally use, especially for oxidation, it will be the likes of citric acid, which of the enzymic reactions.
This is not related, but I'm sort of getting the picture, because there was a time I tried to create my own aloe vera gel, and to prevent it from oxidizing, I used lemon juice.
Yes, and lemon juice, we're talking about vitamin C.
Exactly, citrus. Yes. Yeah. Okay. And we're going to get to the safety part of it, like safety as it relates to in our bodies as we ingest it. But I really want us to get the basics right first before we get into that. Now, we're talking about, you mentioned earlier, the natural state, right, where we'd have, where we'd need to have seven chickens in the yard, but we've now moved to high tech. And I'm just wondering, what are the major categories of food preservation methods? Because I'd love for you to share how differently each of these methods work.
Okay, we actually have different kinds or methods of preservation that we have. And just to be basic, I'll mention the first two that we have spoken about. I think you consciously mentioned when you were preparing your aloe vera and you use lemon. So that's one of the techniques, using weak acids to prevent the enzymic reactions that may take place, especially in fruits and vegetables and some dietary products. And then another method is by drying. So we have what is called a hydro technology. So in hydro technology, you look at more than one technique of preventing the microbial growth. So the microbial growth could be of spoilage microorganisms or bacteria and also the pathogens. So what drying does, together with salt, is it reduces the water activity in a product. For example, on biltong, we dry it and add salt. So what drying and salt does is salt will make water not to have any place in the product. And then drying will take out the water, reducing your water activity, which is favorable by microorganisms.
That's so interesting. You say salt prevents water from getting it onto. Why, when you put salt on avocado, it looks watery? Was it just the salt oxidizing? So
it actually reduces the water activity.
That's
which is
interesting.
Favorable. Yeah, which is an environment favorable for spoilage microorganisms and other pathogens.
Interesting. I think you were going on to the other methods.
Yes, other methods include fermentation, which is one of the oldest methods. So what happens here with fermentation is the introduction of good bacteria to keep the product acidic. So what happens is when the environment is acidic, it disturbs the metabolism of bacteria, so they are not able to grow.
Mm.
And then we also have the cold treatment, like freezing. What we normally do is you buy your fresh chicken product, put it in your freezer.
Mm-hmm.
You can put it in the freezer for 365 days. It will still be the same. And then we also have radiation, which is the usage of UV rays to kill some microorganisms.
Mm.
This method is normally used in dried product like your spices. And then other two includes the common one, canning. The removal of oxygen. Sometimes they use brine. Actually, in most cases, brine, which is a salt solution, and some acids.
Oh wow! Sorry, I'm learning so much. I'm fascinated. I'm so into what you're saying that I'm even forgetting that I'm supposed to be asking you questions. So you work in meat, right? And meat is an especially sensitive food category. What are some of the specific challenges that you come across in preserving meat products?
So I will actually start with the general challenges that we face, being the consumer preference, because we do not produce this meat for ourselves.
Uh-huh.
So we produce this for consumers, and some consumers want their meat fresh so that they can cook the fire for themselves.
Yes.
So as a result, you end up exhausting the preservation methods because then you can only do your primary preservation, which is chlorination of the chicken meat and chilling, and then you can't even freeze a product that customers prefer to be chilled. And then with the likes of a biltong, where it's dried and can last longer, you then look at challenges such as health, like high blood.
Yes.
That is because you then put extra or more salt than you would normally put in your normal meat. So those are some of the challenges that we come across.
Sure. Now let's get into nutrition. Okay. Do we lose or compromise any nutrients when we preserve food, or can technology actually help retain more nutrients?
Honestly speaking, with preservation, or when it comes to preservation, while some nutrients can be lost or destroyed from the use of certain preservative techniques, many nutrients are also preserved. In some cases, preservation allows for longer nutrients in a product. So, and in this process, there's no way that you can gain. In most cases, you will lose, but to acceptable levels in most cases.
Yeah. That's so interesting. And how does preservation then impact taste, smell, and texture? And which innovations are helping us get even better results on this front?
So most preservation methods do not impact taste, smell, and texture. And this is where the food scientists and food technologists come in, together with a nutritionist, to work on something that will not have a taste profile, something that will not have smell, and something that will preserve instead of changing the color.
Yes.
So in most cases, the innovation really help us get to giving people what they need and what they want.
Yeah. That makes sense. Now, we've heard a lot about clean label foods. What natural preservatives are rising in popularity, and are they effective at scale?
Yes, honestly speaking, they are effective. However, I know that there's lots of work that's been done in South Africa and globally, but some of the natural preservatives are essential oils and vinegar, which has been used for many years. Because to think about it, in things like your beetroot, in things like your mayonnaise,
Yes.
you find the one of the major ingredient being
Vinegar.
vinegar for that reason.
And what do
Yes,
we
and it
mean, maybe for the
also,
benefits of those who don't know what clean labeling is, what do we mean by that?
it actually means that natural preservatives
Yes.
that will not have a significant impact on the nutrient of the food. So some of them offer the antimicrobial properties, while other offer the antioxidant properties. So, for example, smoking of food. So, just smoking of food will offer the antioxidant properties, preventing oxidation from your product. And then the other one will be the example that I will repeat, when you use lemon. So, citric acid is more like using a plant extract or using another fruit as a preservative. Yes.
And is there a trade-off between wanting minimal additives and wanting long shelf life? How are scientists balancing these opposing pressures or seemingly opposing pressures?
Absolutely, there's really a trade-off between wanting minimal additives and wanting long shelf life. And what I normally say is additional processes and additives mean money, it's cost. So there's quite a lot of work being done between food development, food safety, and food security, and food waste, which has also become a big topic. So that is because in short shelf life, you end up dumping food, and this has a direct impact on the economy. So there's always that a balance between food safety, food security, and food waste.
Dumelo, are we safe, Maraye? And I'm asking this like between you and I.
Honestly speaking,
Let's pretend nobody is listening. All these preservatives and additives, are you not causing us cancer?
we are not. Honestly speaking, there's lots of, and I'm not saying this only because I'm in the food industry, but I really respect the amount of work that is done by my colleagues out there. Because with every food component, lots of work is done day and night to make sure that we send out a product that is safe for people. And that's where the topic of natural preservative has risen so much that people know exactly what they want to put on their plate, whereas food technologists and food scientists are really working on that. So we are pretty safe. However, some preservatives have health implications. For example, the sulfates that you commonly find in wine, some people are naturally allergic to those. So, yeah, it's not a matter of the additive or the preservative not being safe. So, to answer your question, simply we are safe.
And pardon my ignorance on this, right? But have there been cases of manufacturers cutting corners? Because, hey, our brothers, they're over the pond. I'm not going to say which pond. Are notorious for cutting corners and cutting costs as well. And so the thing is, ethics are costly, right? Doing the right thing is costly. And so
Yes.
have there been cases where we people have been found doing things that are not supposed to be done? And I'm asking this in your capacity as a person whose work is exactly to ensure that things are done right.
Yes, there has been people who were found doing some naughty stuff, and hence the issue of, or the matter of food fraud has also become so common in South Africa and globally. However, food technologies, together with in collaboration with the Department of Health, the Department of Agriculture, are so proactive on catching these people. Mm. You remember that not so long ago in Gauteng, there was a time when where people were found faking a branded company. And some time ago in South Africa still, a donkey meat was found traded as cow, as beef.
Imagine.
So such things do happen. However, people in the food industry are really proactive.
And is the only way to pick it up when people start getting sick?
Yes, there are many ways of picking this up, and I'll give you an example with the listeria issue, the outbreak that we had somewhere between 2017 and 2018, because of the symptoms that were picked from a certain group of people, and then it forced the Department of Agriculture and some food technologies to go do an investigation. Mm. That's when they were able to identify that there's something wrong. There is an outbreak with a bacteria.
But did that have to do with issues of food preservation or just the environment that wasn't clean? And you know, the thing with listeriosis actually breaks my heart, because just a month ago I was listening to a radio show where they had victims of the outbreak, people whose lives changed, disability. They now have comorbidities. Like, it was so, so bad. And to this day, that big brand is dodging paying the cost of how they've changed people's lives. So this issue, was it a food preservation or just an unclean, unsterile environment that they were producing this food in?
It was actually not a food preservative issue. It was related to the environment, because the bacteria came from the environment to the packaging of the product. And then contamination took place from the packaging of the material to the food and now to the customer's system.
And there's nothing that those preservatives can do to mitigate or to, like, what is the word? Override, stuff like that.
Not in such cases, because in cases like this, and I don't want to say much about that specific incident, but there are lots of control measures in lots of places. Hence, if you remember with the investigations that were done within that period, it was just a few manufacturers, or if I say one, that was found to be affected.
Yes.
And I was in the food industry at the time. Lots of actions were taken by the Department of Health. They were taken by us, ensuring that we have reduction programs for bacteria, and with the aim of being proactive before the outbreak becomes something bigger than what it was.
Yeah. Oh man, I really hope those families and those people get their due, because oh man, it was bad. Now, post-harvest loss is a massive problem in South Africa and across the continent. How can better food preservation help reduce food waste and food insecurity, like you mentioned not so long ago?
Okay, I think one thing that always comes to my mind is imagining the manufacturers collaborating with scientists or researchers. Oh, we have lots of university students who are doing research, and I keep imagining of the amount of work that can be done and how it can benefit us in a long run. And another method, I think, would be opening the export market so that our country shares among what they have with other countries. Obviously on cost, so it shouldn't only be us sending what we can call extra food that is likely to be condemned to other countries. So I think if we open that export door, it will really assist us reduce waste.
Hey, Mara, we must keep it within the continent. We don't want 30%. And are local manufacturers and retailers taking food preservation innovation seriously? Or is there still a gap, a big gap even, compared to global leaders?
Honestly speaking, they are. And like I've said, part of my job is to audit manufacturers. And I see how much the manufacturers work to make sure that they comply. And when I was directly in the food industry, I had sleepless nights trying to figure out how can we resolve something that before it even becomes a big problem. So to answer you simply, yes, manufacturers really do take food preservation innovation very seriously.
Yeah.
And compared to some continents or some countries, I think we are still a bit behind. Mm. And given that we are still a developing country, we are still behind. I'll give you an example in chicken.
Mm.
Elsewhere, they no longer use the likes of chlorine to sanitize or to disinfect. They've gone as far as using the prerequisite program to make sure that the bacterial loads are at a minimum. So these are things that I feel with the global initiative of waste for 2030, I hope that South Africa will also be quite far.
Yeah. I want to say something that I don't even know will make sense, but just track with me, okay? Track with me. So my mom has this whistling kettle, and I'm not going to say where it was bought, but it wasn't bought in the wrong place. It was bought at a reputable distributor. No?
Yes,
this whistling kettle in the beginning, oh, it was such a fascination. Whenever the water boils, oh, we get very excited. Now whistling kettle doesn't whistle. Whistling kettle there at the, you know, the mouth is crooked and it no longer whistles. And I think to my mom, this is absolutely boring because the whole appeal of it is that sound, you know, just the fact that your water's ready for your tea or whatever. So my mom says, you see what happens when you buy things that are from China. And I was saying to her, this is actually very interesting because maybe that is the whole reason why their markets do so well, because when something breaks and you liked it, you'll keep going back and going back and going back. 100%. So they have managed to increase demand for themselves by making sure that what they sell you is not going to last. Now, when I think about food preservation, I'm very curious about whether or not when things started happening the way they did, when technology got introduced, whether or not there was a dip in revenue because people's food stayed longer than before. And I know I took a detour to get here, but I hope you actually understand my question. I do think in those terms sometimes.
I understand you 100%.
Yeah.
And look, I think as we grew up, people used to say, I bought something in China. It's loud.
Hey? Yeah.
And the reason I'm saying that is the world has become so small that when it comes to the food industry, we have real control measures that if something comes into South Africa and like we used to say previously, we will detect it and it will not cross the border.
Mm.
So that's how strict the food safety has really become.
Mm.
And with technology being applied on the food safety systems, look, we have gone a very long way to prevent such naughtiness that can happen with food or in this industry.
Yeah. And speaking on tech, what role does tech and digital systems play in ensuring consistent standards in large food production?
It actually plays a very big role when it comes to compliance, because it gives us the opportunity to do compliance audits efficiently instead of having 1,000 papers and a questionnaire with about 1,000 questions. You go on the system and it guides you on what to look at and how it should be. So again, you also get the food safety system development tools on online. So this really helps us a big time.
I can imagine. I can imagine. And we cannot talk about anything tech without mentioning AI or the Internet of Things. So I'm very curious to know, how are AI and the Internet of Things and smarter sensors transforming the way we monitor freshness and temperature and contamination risk?
Yeah, this has actually become a big topic in the food industry, and I see it helping us a very big time because previously, or many years ago, we used to rely on one person doing quality checks. So you have quality controllers, you have 100,000 chickens slaughtered in a day, and it's no way that one person can inspect 100,000 chickens slaughtered in a day. So now the smart sensors and AI comes in to be calibrated to show you when you have temperature issues. For example, I know many people who have softwares on their phones whereby if there are temperature issues at 2 a.m., it will send them a message and make sure that they wake up to go attend to the issue.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so compared to the olden days whereby in a facility they only have a day shift and they left product in a freezer, a freezer decides not to work from 12 o'clock. By the time they get there 6 hours or 7 hours later, the product is rotten and gone.
Oh, wow. So there's really been a preservation of food preservation with these new technologies. I absolutely love that. Now, let's take our foot off the brake a bit and just talk education and the future, right? So you're a mentor, you're a guest lecturer, and I'd love to hear from you. What are students most surprised to learn about food security and food science rather than food safety today?
So I think one of the things that surprises the students to start with is the passion that they see across the board in the food industry, because you hardly come across anyone who's just doing this as a job.
Yeah.
It happens here and there, but the passion. And also the technology and science that goes in every day's meal. I remember when I was presenting something to students on ready to eat food, they were really shocked about how the food manufacturers make sure that you have a low risk area and you have a high risk area whereby if you need to go in, you need to change the PPE, you need to wash up to make sure that you do not contaminate the food. So the technology and science together with control measures that are put in place really surprise some of the students.
Yeah. Oh, man. And what excites you most about the future of food preservation? Any emerging technologies or methods that we should be paying attention to?
Like we said, the natural preservatives, I really look forward to see how far that's going to take us.
Yeah.
And the daily challenges are just adding up to the route that we've taken in terms of getting the solutions to this. So this really excites me. And I've become an ambassador of the global goal for 2030, especially on food waste. So it goes hands in hands. It goes together in the sense that if we manage to preserve as much food as possible, then we won't be wasting food.
Oh, I love that. And what's one misconception about food safety or preservation you wish the average consumer would unlearn today?
Simply the perception that food preservation causes cancer. I really wish people could start reading their labels, which is very important.
Yeah.
You get to understand your food. So I really feel it will go a very long way in terms of unlearning this perception about food preservatives. So food preservatives are actually the heroes.
I love that. I love that reframing. And finally, if someone listening was curious about the field that you're in, where should they begin? What advice would you give them? Or possibly, what advice would you have given yourself if you were just starting out?
No. I think, firstly, to people who are in the food industry, I think the biggest thing is for each one of us or everyone to remember or to always have in mind that when we prepare food, we do not prepare for ourselves. It goes as far as, I always say, it goes as far as preparing the chicken that's going to be eaten by my 100 years old Bobo in Venda. So it's very important that you prepare that with love. And that the love will be shown through the results. And the results will be us not condemning food, will be us not causing sicknesses. So, yeah. And for people, for the public, is get to know your food and avoid the gray market. I think that's where all these things happen. We spoke about food fraud earlier on. So you will be able to pick the right food and things that you cannot eat. So please avoid the gray market and also read the food labels. They are there for you to give you the information about allergens, to give you the information about the shelf life of the food as well.
Yeah, but we'll never leave the store if we're busy, because some of the things we don't even understand.
Yes, look, we have become a very small world. We have internet nowadays. Internet has all the information. We have you now in the radio station who's able to invite me to come and talk to you about food preservatives. So it's very important that people search this information. At some point, someone is driving now and they happen to turn on the radio and they're getting this information. So the information has become so much accessible like it was in the olden days.
Yeah. And if someone would love to maybe study food science or what you studied, how can they go about doing that? And how can you prepare them? Because earlier when you told me about how you always knew what you wanted to do, I was wondering whether or not it met your expectations when you were studying or you were caught off guard. So for the person who does want to get into the field, how can you prepare them?
Firstly, is for one to really develop the passion for this, because as much as my job is exciting, it's also challenging. It means you are responsible for people's lives, because what they eat may nourish them or may be poison. And preparation at academically is you start with sciences. I will always advise people to study maths and science, because they are prerequisites or requirements for studying food technology or food science.
Yeah.
And also, just to add, is developing the love for food from farm to fork. Like you mentioned earlier on, I didn't only study food technology. I went further to also study about agriculture, because I wanted to integrate both the science behind food, the technology behind food, and the origin of food, which is agriculture. Then that's where food safety and quality came in.
Yeah. This has been such an interesting conversation. I think as we wrap up, the truth is, and I think everybody knows this, so it goes without saying, food is more than what fills our plates, right? It's really about what fuels the body, what feeds the nation, and reflects our values as societies and communities. So in essence, when we preserve food, we are preserving our health. We are preserving our dignity. We're preserving our tradition, even at times. And I think more than anything, we're preserving tomorrow. So to all the scientists behind the labels, the mentors behind all these degrees, and the people who know that fresh thinking starts with fresh food and make it their life's work to protect both of those, I say cheers to you guys. And so on that note, cheers to you, Dumelo. You're doing incredible work. Thank you so much for borrowing us your time and your knowledge this evening.
Cheers. It's a pleasure. And thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely evening.
Thank you. Same with you.
Bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.